prompted you to write the book, Kevin?
Well, I think as I look back at it, I really started studying the subject of heaven when my mother was dying in 1981. Every day I was coming to her bedside and I was reading to her from the last two chapters of Scripture. So I'm reading from Revelation 21 and 22 to my dying mother, and I'd been to Bible college, I had been to seminary in 1977. A group of us had started Good Shepherd Community Church in beautiful downtown Boring, Oregon. And when I'm in other parts of the country, I have to explain, yes, it's really a place, but since most of you are local, I take it, you know that there is a Boring, Oregon. But we didn't name our church Boring Bible Church or something like that. But, although there is a Boring Pastors Fellowship group that used to meet anyway out there. But anyway, so we start that church in 1977, gone through Bible college, seminary. You would think that I really would have studied the biblical teaching about heaven. But the truth is, I really hadn't. And there's a reason for that. One reason is that the end of your eschatology course, the very thing, last thing that you would study would be the new earth, except every teacher knows that you never really get to the end material, right? You get, because, you know, we were so busy talking about, you know, the pros and cons of a mid-tribulation rapture and that sort of thing, that we never, in talking about, you know, amillennial and premillennial and postmillennial, that we never got to the new earth, which just happens to be the place, according to Scripture, that we will spend eternity with our risen Lord as resurrected beings in a resurrected universe. And we never talked about it. And same thing in my Bible courses. So I would have, you know, one group of books that you would go through, and we had Acts through Philemon, we had the Gospels, and then we had Acts through Philemon, and then we had Hebrews through Revelation. Guess what's last and that you don't get to, because you're deep into, maybe you're in the middle of Revelation when the course ends, and so you don't deal with the ending. But what struck me as I'm reading these chapters from the last two chapters of the Bible to my mother, who's dying and knows the Lord, is how real and how tangible this world that we're promised we're going to live in really is going to be. And so, you know, here I am reading Revelation 21 and 22, and I'm thinking, wow, all this stuff about the city and streets and gates and precious stones, and this is made of this, and this is made of that, and then there is a river flowing through the center of the city, and then there is the tree of life growing on both sides of the river, producing a different fruit every month that is going to be consumed. And you've got all the passages that talk about the banquets will sit, and people, Jesus says, will come from the east and the west. They'll sit at a table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we will enjoy feasting, eating together. And what do at dinner tables? You talk, you share, you fellowship. Usually they had entertainment. There were people that would do comedies, or that would do dramas, people who would sing, and people who would play instruments. And this was not your quick fast food type thing. People loved to hang out together for these big feasts. And so you're reading about all these things, not only in Revelation 21 and 22, the feast that I'm talking about, Jesus spoke of in the Gospels. And I'm thinking, this is a real world in which we have real bodies, we will have real bodies, in which we will eat real food, and we will be in relationships with people, and they'll have names, and there's continuity. Not you who once were Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, not the one who used to be Isaac, formerly known as, not the patriarch formerly known as Abraham, but Abraham, the real guy. And you're thinking, yeah. And remember Moses and Elijah when they appear in Transfiguration. This is the real Moses and the real Elijah, not people who used to be that till they went to heaven. Because, of course, once you go to heaven, you're not the same person. Well, no, you are the same person. You're the same person made better. You know, I'm going to be Randy Alcorn throughout eternity, but I'll be Randy Alcorn without all the bad parts. And I can't wait for that. And people who know me can't wait for that. You know, what a great thing that will be. But in answer to the question, it's like, as I was reading all that to my mother, it was hitting me just how real and tangible this realm was. Realized I'd graduated from Bible college and seminary, and I'd been taught virtually nothing on the subject. And I went to a very good Bible college and a very good seminary, but I'd been taught almost nothing on the subject of heaven. And I had many pastors who've read the Heaven book, and they have said, you know what? I had exactly the same experience. Went to a great Bible college and seminary, but we virtually never talked about heaven. And the only time we really did talk about it was the present heaven, the heaven that you go to when you die. To depart and be with Christ is better by far. And that it is. It's a wonderful place just to be with the Lord. But people who are now home with the Lord are not yet in their eternal home, which will be in the new heavens and the new earth where God is said to come down and dwell with his people. All that to say that as those concepts sank in with me, more and more over the years, I read more and more books on heaven. I do more studies on heaven. I look at what does Scripture actually say. And I realized, you know what? There have been a lot of books written on heaven over the years, but there haven't been any, or at least not very many, that put the emphasis on the eternal heaven, the place where we'll live with our Lord forever, the doctrine of the new earth. So that's when I determined I really wanted to write it. It took several years to do it, but then it came out 4 years ago. One of the fun things about this is that I'm never under the misimpression that if one of my books sells well, it's because it's a great book. 100% of the royalties from all of my books are given away to God's kingdom, to missions work, to pro-life work, Johnny and Friends, prison fellowship, you name it, all of these things. So I always have this angle that God may be blessing the book and it may be selling well just to raise money for ministries that he believes in.